It's a privilege to be with you again, to be in front of you, and an honor to try to bring some type of message that might be somehow used in your life. I will trust that God will do that. And I want us to hear the scripture this morning, and it comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Let us listen this familiar story with fresh way of hearing and looking, allowing for the words to rest upon our hearts and minds as it is read. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. So many of us have heard this story from Luke that I just read about Martha and Mary. There is something about it that catches our attention, hooks us in. I think this story appeals to us so much because we see ourselves in it. We can relate to it. Even though it is about two sisters living 2,000 years ago, somehow it's as if it might as well have been written about you, or maybe it was written about me. If you have read or heard this story before or heard it preached on, I'm sure you, like me, have said to yourself, "Well, I'm definitely a Martha." Or, "I'm definitely a Mary." However, to me, in reading it fresh again this week, it isn't really about figuring out which woman we identify with in the story. It's uncovering what it is exactly Jesus wants from these women. We know Mary is held up as someone who has done something right, while Martha has been corrected by Jesus. The text points out to us why Mary is the one who is approved of and why Martha is not. However, considering the customs of this time, the exact opposite should be the case. In these times, and really still in our times today, if you have a guest come into your home, you would stop everything to make sure that they were welcomed and help to prepare a meal for them, to make sure they feel at home and that everything seems to be organized and well taken care of. If all your sister was doing was laying on the floor in front of the guest, well, you'd be pretty frustrated too. It would be absurd. You'd feel embarrassed. We look at this story and many of us say, "Of course she should be helping her sister. Of course." After all, this is Jesus, not some ordinary guest. This is the great rabbi. This is the Messiah. Martha is frustrated with her sister because how you show respect for someone in this day is in terms of the service you provide, especially for women. But that's not the case for this story. Instead, it is flipped upside down. The traditions are challenged. The routines are uprooted. The expectations are pulled out from underneath Martha and subsequently us. It's a complete reversal. Martha is thrown out of her comfort zone. This is all she knows. This was how she was reared and taught to take care of someone when they entered their home. Jesus is not angry. He is not upset. When I hear the words, Martha, Martha, I don't hear it in a condescending way. I hear it out of sympathy. Jesus is concerned. Jesus cares for Martha and wants the best for her. He is concerned because Martha has been so distracted and so busy preparing everything that she does not realize what is right in front of her. She is unfortunately missing the whole point that Jesus has come to her house. While serving is important, and what we do as people who follow Jesus, we cannot forget to do things with the right attitude. We cannot forget we have to recharge our spiritual batteries and worship God and keep our relationship with God strong. The reason Jesus praises Mary is for her understanding that hearing and listening to Jesus is absolutely critical to being a disciple. It is worship. Listening and connecting with God is worship. Service is worship, but not if we forget why we serve. Not if we get wrapped up in our own little worlds. Why we serve has to always be in our minds. If it isn't, then we need to make sure we have an earnest priority to know that the reason we serve is to follow Jesus. As Jesus' disciple, he is the one who leads us, not the other way around. If we don't have a relationship with Christ, then there is no guidance and understanding of what it is Christ desires for us to do. In our world, we are far more likely to be busy, wrapped up in doing, that we don't stop to think and pray and really discern God's voice to us. The reality is that we need to listen at God's feet for direction. We have plenty to keep our minds busy. We are inundated with so much information every day, which kindles within us stress that we don't even realize is slowly tacking onto us. We must make a point to always remind ourselves that the busyness of life can consume us so much. We must make time for God. Busyness and working too much, getting lost in our schedules, can soon become an idol. A desire to fulfill every obligation we need to make. And if we don't learn to incorporate God first in everything we do and then allow everything else to fit in around our Lord, then it becomes a monster that we can't seem to live life without. It starts to consume us. Worship of God and being diligent in spiritual practice and holy listening has to be a priority. Our relationship with the divine is what gives us life. It's what can revive us from being jailed to our workplace, to our studies at school, or countless other stressful situations that might be a part of our life. Being a part of a relationship with God is challenging. That's no secret. It's a hard path to walk faithfully and consistently. It's difficult to allow God to lead instead of our own egos and self-interests. But even though there are challenges, God pours out to us life-giving grace and mercy each and every day to meet those challenges. Worship and praise and prayer, reading the scriptures and fasting, receiving Holy Communion, being a part of small groups and Sunday schools are all ways for us to reconnect with God, to be refreshed, to be renewed, to refocus our priorities. We cannot forget that we are servants and children of the God who loves us and loved us first and wants for us to receive blessing after blessing. God wants the best for you. A relationship with God is a two-way street. And sometimes we'll be curvy, bumpy, filled with potholes. Sometimes it will be icy. Sometimes it will turn into a one-way road. Sometimes you'll have to take a detour. But like the relationship with God and all other relationships, it requires two parties working together. God doesn't want to force you to do anything. I believe that strongly. God wants you to want it for yourself and believe that God can bring it about. It's a strong desire of God for you to claim it for yourself. Sometimes God needs to push us a little or wake us up out of a dream state. But God truly desires for us to go along and believe that God wants the best for us and knows what is best for us. If we are constantly communicating with God and truly trying to hear and listen for God's voice and discern with what it means, our spiritual life will be fulfilled. We all know that one of the major keys of any relationship is communication. If you are married to somebody or dating someone that doesn't speak to you or spend time with you or is too busy doing other things to take notice of you, chances are that relationship isn't going very well. Chances are it's caving in and really isn't a relationship at all. I believe God mourns that. I believe it is God's strongest desire to see that we love God back and reciprocate a meaningful relationship. When we don't reciprocate, or when we get lazy, or when we get busy, God is saddened because he knows how transformative it would be for people to grab hold and love back. Our relationship with God is something to cherish, something which can really bless our lives. And doing that each and every day, earnestly seeking God, will change our lives. There have been periods in my life where my worship has been insufficient, where my worship has been lacking or lukewarm, where I was doing but not worshiping. I was more worshiping from memory than really digging deep within myself and asking the tough questions of what I can do to truly grow this relationship with God. This Christian life is a hard one to live in a chaotic world We are pulled in so many different directions. The grace of God, though, can pierce through the stress and the anxiety and the depression and the frustration of our life. The stress in Martha's life seems to have brought her to where she lost her joy. Like me, she was really doing the service out of habit rather than allowing the grace of God to lead her. You see, joy is key to faithful service. Joy is one of those things which is a mystery that I believe only God fully knows how it works. Joy is beyond happiness. Joy happens in spite of suffering, hard work, and great stress. Joy is really unexplainable. And why should it be explainable? If it were, everyone would be trying to get on the joy bandwagon. Joy isn't easy. It doesn't come with a how-to booklet that tells you how to have joy. People who work tirelessly in their careers to get ahead and get promoted, get raises and more money for the sole purpose that they think money will bring them happiness, or celebrities who think fame and living large will fulfill their souls and make them happy, soon find out that happiness is not joy. They felt happy at certain points because they've been able to satisfy some desire. But it is temporary. Happiness runs out. The joy can't be found. And we see so many people then turn to drinking, drugs, sex, anything that might give them happiness or anything that might numb the pain of life. But unfortunately, happiness is not what they need and won't truly fulfill them. Joy, on the other hand, has the power to keep us going, to give us life, allow us to see the blessings that are around us. And when we see the blessings around us, we connect with God on a larger level. Mary was perfectly content to listen to Jesus, a key to unlocking joy and have it live within us. Following the way of Jesus, being attentive to what he leads us to do, will bring about joy, will bring about fulfillment. You'll begin to remember how God loves you and wants the best for you. That joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And now I get to tell one of my favorite stories. And that's about one of my dear friends and mentors. And he passed away several years ago. And his name is Earl Jackson. Earl, a few years prior to his death, his wife passed away. He's in his 70s. And like a lot of people who have been married for a long time, who lose their spouse at that particular age, felt lonely, didn't know how to necessarily live life without his partner there. And the loneliness set in, and he felt saddened. And I even know that his Sunday school class thought that he was really going to go downhill after that. But I was going through youth group at the time, and fortunately, my youth minister reached out to him and said, "Earl, why don't you come to youth group tonight? Eat with us, and we'll have the study, and you can be with the kids." I said, No, you don't do that. No. Well, she asked again, and he finally decided to come. And then he came the next week. And then he came the next week. And soon, Earl's life revolved around the youth group. Joy was brought back into his life. Earl did everything with the youth group. He went on youth trips. He went with me and the youth group on a trip to Mexico. He went with me and a few people from the church to Peru. And here is the best accomplishment he did. He led a seventh grade boys' small group. Do you know seventh grade boys? This is a 73-year-old man, and he did it. Joy was back in Earl's life. You could see him having fun, smiling. Youth group was his world. And I'll never forget a testimony he gave one time that during his time at the youth group, that was the closest he ever felt to God in his life, being fully dedicated to God. And unfortunately, he passed away with a random heart attack in his kitchen right after he had returned from a youth event. You know, Earl found his joy in life. Martha, I think, found her joy again. I think her encounter with Jesus shook her foundation and allowed her to refocus upon what matters in life. Do you have joy in your life? Are you a Christian who is experiencing a spiritual lag or just going through the motions? Are you someone who has all kinds of schedules to keep track of and you find that you're kind of losing sight of God and all of that? Sit at God's feet. Don't waste your life away getting bogged down. Don't work your life away and miss Jesus' love all around you. Don't miss God's blessings that are surrounding you and are right in front of your face. Take advantage of all God can give to you. God wants you to wrap your arms around all God can give to you to being a better disciple. Listen for that still small voice of the Most High God who leads us to more holy living, who leads us to a life that is filled with joy because of Jesus Christ, who inspires, strengthens, and helps us along the way. May the joy of Christ be in all of us. Amen.